Steve?
I think also part of the confusion comes in if you look at the data on cipritone acetate that actually worsened survival. So some of the early meta-analysis from the prostate cancer trial cooperative that came out in the Lancet in the late 1990s actually showed really no benefit, no statistical benefit. And that's kind of the era I was coming up in urology. I remember as a med student saying, okay, combined androgen blockade doesn't add anything. And then it's some of the reanalysis taking the cipritone acetate data, which is a steroidal antiandrogen rather than the bicalutamide, the non-steroidal, taking that out of the equation, you can start to see some modest benefit. And so I think that clouds the picture.
I've been saying that from the beginning because it's a steroidal antiandrogen. Same thing with megase, that they have estrogen-like side effects and that negates it and they're not complete blockade.
But I'm not sure all the community urologists are necessarily aware of that. If they just looked at the original Lancet paper from 1997 and read, it's a overall no benefit. So
I think that when we talk about total androgen blockade, we need to evaluate what happened. And I think the basic concept that the prostate cancer cells will adapt to very low levels of testosterone is an interesting concept. It, to some degree, it's probably correct. In 1983, we were told that we were curing patients with total androgen blockade. So we do the first trial, we hit the jackpot. I was a co-author, I was a second author on this. And then we did a second trial, and I designed it. That's why I was a PI. And that's not because anyone did me a favor, but nonetheless, that study was twice as big. We wanted to actually look at a 25% improvement, just what we saw in intergroup 0036, and we were not able to reject the null hypothesis, and that was a negative trial. So then everybody said, well, yeah, but it was a 10% difference. But the study was not designed to test the 10% difference. So the question is, do we design a study to test the 10% difference? Remember, in 1983, we were curing it, and today we are talking about making a 10% difference. But now, let me finish, please. I'm not saying that the antiandrogens don't have a role. I think the interesting thing is that by treating somebody with standard gonadal ablation alone, we may actually see which patients may benefit by the addition of an antiandrogen, and probably is going to be a small proportion of patients because overall it doesn't make a huge difference in terms of outcome. But we may select the 15 or 25% of the patients whose PSA doesn't go down by 6 months or starts going up, and then we add an antiandrogen in that setting. So the trial that I would perhaps consider doing now, which is very difficult, is to use a combined androgen blockade versus a sequential gonadal ablation followed by second line by the addition of Casodex. But the reality is that the key issue is that the antiandrogens are really not an answer. They do have more side effects. The flutamide data suggests that it worsens the quality of life. It's over $300 a month that patients need to come out of their pocket. Is everybody going to have to do that up front? I don't. I use Casodex as second treatment in that fashion.
Dave? One thing we're forgetting, do we really have strong evidence that orchiectomy is equivalent to LHRH agonist?
Yes.
Is there some... No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Is there something else going on? Okay. Could LHRH agonists have effect on the cell level? And there are LHRH receptors that inhibit cell growth. Gary Miller was working on this and a number of other people. You know, there may be something else that goes on here. The only trial to answer Dr. Chodak's question was Brian Peeling's trial in the UK years ago with 347 people on it comparing orchiectomy to monthly Zoladex. I would submit that that trial size of 150-some people on an arm is not sufficient to provide equivalence. Then there was a trial that some guy named Chodak and Vogelzang were involved with in the U.S. that took 10 years to get published, I think, a long time. It was orchiectomy and Zoladex, but in 200-some patients that showed equivalence. So we don't have large trials that say that it's equivalent. So maybe there is something there, and that's why the SWOG trial, you know, that the antiandrogen was able to boot it up a little bit. I don't know. And then there was the argument about flare and lots of other things. So, you know, I think there are a lot of legitimate questions that still remain, unfortunately. I mean, we need a big study of orchiectomy versus LHRH. We need a DES study. You know, lots of studies we need.
Laurie?
Well, just keep in mind, the data on bicalutamide suggests, first, the Japanese data is really strongly positive. And that is just LHRH plus or minus bicalutamide, 40% hazard ratio of 0.4.
200 patients.
80 milligrams.
Fine, it's 200 patients. It's strongly positive because the difference is so large. So all I'm arguing is that 10% relative difference is for the first generation. The estimate is a 20% benefit with bicalutamide, and it hasn't been tested other than in that Japanese trial.